Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Say there are applications and prophetic principles for me to apply to my life. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And we see Nehemiah is the prophet of rebuilding the ruins. You say, I didn't know that Nehemiah said, thus saith the Lord. I want you to know there are many types of prophets. Not just thus saith the Lord. There are some in this room, if you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have been baptized into the spirit of prophecy. You will be a dreamer. The Bible says, hallelujah, when Peter stood up on that day of Pentecost, he said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see visions, and your young men shall dream dreams. When you have a prophetic dream, you are a prophet. Hallelujah. There are many different ways we prophesy other than just saying, thus saith the Lord. Did you know that when you are led by the Holy Spirit, that is an act of prophecy operating in you? That's the Spirit of God supernaturally communicating to you what God wants you to do. And you could not have received that in your natural man. The Bible is very clear that the things of God cannot be communicated to me by the natural man. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. So when you are led by the Spirit, and it is the Spirit of God leading you to do something, you didn't receive that in your carnal mind. You did not receive that in your natural man. You received that by the Spirit of God who dwells in you, and that action is prophetic. Are you following me? You heard the voice of God. But God doesn't have to speak audible for you to know his voice. Sometimes it's something you feel inside of you. Are you following me? You feel a burning. You feel a sensation. You've been quickened by the power of God. Are you following me? Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Are you following me? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. Because they are foolishness to him, and they are spiritually discerned. So that means that your inward man that is born again after the image of Jesus in you, that inward man bears witness to the Spirit of God who dwells in you. The Bible says it is the Spirit that beareth witness because the Spirit is truth. That's why when we want to hear from the Holy Spirit, we better have a clean conscience. I said, if we are going to be led by the Spirit, we better have a clean conscience. The Bible says in Romans chapter 9, verse 1, Paul says to the church, the Romans, he said, I tell you the truth. my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Without a conscience that is healthy, that is trained in self-scrutiny skills, to know and to be open to the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, that one cannot hear from God clearly. But if you want to hear from God clearly, and you want to have constant communication with the Holy Ghost, turn to your neighbor and say, don't sear your conscience. Oh, I didn't get a whole lot of amens out of that. I thought you were going to run around the room. I said, don't sear your conscience. Paul said the end of the commandment is this: to have faith and a good conscience. Are you following me? So our conscience is where the truth lies. And the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. So that means he must take full possession of the faculties in my conscience. That if I've been a little puffed up, let him convict you so that you come down a few pegs. Hello, somebody. I said, let him convict you so you don't lose the anointing. Hello, somebody. I said, let him convict you so you don't lose the anointing. It's much better to have the Holy Ghost convict you. Convict us. We've been in a place, we've been a little bit hardened in our heart. Just a little not so compassionate as usual. We don't feel that tender heart of Jesus moving in us. Or we're getting a little lukewarm, apathetic. Prayer begins to be a burden. The things of God become burdensome. The Holy Ghost is convicting. It's not up to the Holy Ghost to do something. It's up to you and I to do something. When he convicts us, when he says, little lukewarm. You see, we're living in times right now, saints, that things are not like they used to be. We're living in a time that the Bible says judgment shall begin in the house of God. And if you don't know that's happening, something's wrong somewhere. If you do not know what is happening now and what is happening, it's a move of God. And it's not to be cruel to anyone, expose anyone. It's for us to be serving God, saying we better take count because something is happening. The Bible says when all the nations surround Israel, hallelujah, and they have surrounded Israel, look up for your redemption draweth nigh. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. I want you to understand Nehemiah is extremely burdened. And how did he get burdened? He was burdened by the words that came to him. From Hanani, one of his brethren, and some other men. The Bible doesn't tell us how many who were certain men that were chosen to go to Jerusalem to return to Persia. To give Nehemiah, the king of Persia's cupbearer, a report of what was happening in Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us that he heard a report that said, the people that are there in the province, Jerusalem was no longer its own sovereign capital. Israel was no longer a state at the time. It was conquered by the Babylonians. A very small number of Jews remained there. And the ones that were not taken to Babylon that remained there were living in a shameful condition. They were living in ruins, and they were living among the ruins. And Nehemiah, when he heard this, and he heard that the walls were broken down and the gates were burnt with fire, Nehemiah immediately went into prayer and fasting. Notice what the Bible says. It was instant. There was a burden put upon him. You know, beloved saints, I want you to know the Holy Ghost doesn't always speak with an audible voice. Do you know that the Bible says of the prophet Habakkuk, the Bible tells us Habakkuk received the word of the Lord from a burden. Sometimes our heart is burdened and grieved over something. He doesn't always speak in an audible voice, but he always moves. Habakkuk the prophet didn't hear the Lord saying, but he felt the Lord's burden. We're living in the times the Holy Ghost wants to convey the burden. And Nehemiah shows us not only the rebuilding, because he's the rebuilder of Zion. He's the rebuilder of the ruins of Zion. But he teaches us also how to rebuild ruins in our own lives and how the ruins in the church are going to be rebuilt. Are you with me? God is getting ready while everything is lining up according to biblical prophecy for the end times. And now the time has come that there's going to be an outpouring in the church such as we've never seen before. This is why God is cleaning up the church. I want you to understand, God cannot pour out his spirit when we're in this state. Hello, somebody. Because what he's about to do is so great, it's so glorious, it's so powerful. I hope you understand what the Holy Ghost is saying. So the rebuilding of the ruins begins with anguish. I want you to see the very first thing the Holy Ghost did in the church. After Jesus went away, in Acts chapter 1, the very first move of God was a move of anguish. The Bible says, as they looked up into heaven, the angels said, "Ye men of Galilee, why do you stare up into heaven?" And the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, and they continued in prayer and supplication. Prayer and supplication can only happen with an agony. Anguish of the burden that the presence of God was not there anymore. Jesus had ascended to heaven and the Holy Ghost had not yet come. I want you to know, before the upper room, it was impossible to feel the presence of Jesus after he went to heaven. There was no feeling of his love or his care because he was gone. This is why the upper room is so important. This is why the day of Pentecost was a day of waiting and longing and agony. Because the absence produces anguish. Some of us have had the Holy Ghost make an exit. He's still with us, but he's in the back room. And we know we felt him before. And sometimes, beloved, that absence that we feel is the Holy Ghost drawing us again. He wants us to long after him. Revival does not come without anguish. Revival comes through longing for the power and the presence of God. I'm going to tell you. Some of us in this room today, and this is not, I want you to understand, this is nothing of condemnation at all. It's actually a compliment. Some individuals in this room are feeling sickly. You don't know what it is. You can't put your finger on it. Others of you, you know something's very wrong. It's because you're longing. And you don't realize it's the Holy Ghost in you. causing you to long after him. Because he cannot come without an invitation. And I want you to know the Holy Spirit. He doesn't just come with, please come, Holy Spirit. He wants to be desired. He wants us to long for him. And there are some that for many years they spent longing and walking in the ways of God. And because of the condition that the body of Christ is in at the moment, you feel an absence. You feel that your love, you cannot find him. But you shall. And this is a work of God on the church. That he would get us to the place of great anguish. To a place of longing for the revival. Longing for his presence. Not settling for just coming in and out of church and playing church. But coming into that place where the Holy Ghost fills us. Oh, how we long for that Spirit of God. Oh, that he would put that longing in our heart and bring it again to us. That sweet longing that he does, that he woos. He loves us so much. The Holy Spirit is pure love. He's pure love. That's why anyone who's walking in the Spirit and uses harshness with their mouth grieves the Holy Spirit. You don't know him if you do that on a constant basis. He's pure love. He's the love of Jesus. And the more you have of him, the more you love others. Oh, that we long for him. That we wait for him. Some of us have been waiting a long time. But he's going to come. He won't fail us at this hour when we need him so desperately. But he wants a pure heart. He wants a vessel like Jesus. Do you realize the secret of Jesus' anointing? Do you realize the secret of that anointing on Jesus? The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Being fully God, but not using his power as God. And being fully man at the same time. Yielding his body to the Holy Spirit. The obedience and the humility. If you follow the pattern of every time the Spirit of God broke out in the life of Jesus, you will see there were tremendous acts of humility and obedience. When he stepped down into the river to be baptized of John, the Bible said John forbade him and said, I have need to be baptized of thee, and you come to me. Jesus said, suffer it to be so, to fulfill all righteousness. And the Bible says when he thus said and he came up out of the water. Notice what the Bible says in Matthew's gospel in the 3rd chapter. The Bible says the heavens were opened unto him. Not just the heavens were opened, the heavens were opened unto Jesus. Do you want to live under an open heaven? Do you want to live under a heaven that is opened unto you? It happened through his obedience and his humility. That's the secret of his anointing. Every time you see an act of obedience, you see the power of God. The Bible says after the River Jordan, Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Being led by the Spirit, being full of the Holy Ghost, it came from the River Jordan. Do you want to stay filled with the Holy Ghost? Be yielded and do whatever he asks you to do. Be in constant communion with the Holy Ghost. Not just when you come to church. Not just when you come to a meeting like this. The Bible tells us that when Nehemiah heard these words, the Bible says, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He heard these words and agony took over. Are you with me, saints?
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.